Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big 5-0 episode.
There are balloons dropping from the ceiling as we speak.
And streamers flying and those poppers.
What sounds do streamers make?
This is the Business Handmade Podcast with Kim and Kevin.
I'm Kim.
And I am Kevin. And we had a very cool conversation with Pat of Kitchen Wooden Products. And he has such a cool, interesting story that he shared with us.
Yeah, I'm floored. I feel like we meet
amazing people. Well, you didn't expect it, right?
I didn't expect it. I thought we'd talk more about the product line. And here is this man who is so willing to share his global experience about where he's sourcing materials from. And now that he is the sourcer, and that he's running programs for inner city kids, incarcerated adults, you know, people who are going through this social rehabilitation to get them up and running with a trade so that they can be reintegrated into society, you know, and not have to worry.
Well, it's really for anybody that wants to be self-sustaining and learn a skill and be better with their hands. Like, it really is for anybody,
but
the people that are gaining probably the most benefit are the younger kids that maybe don't want to go to college and want to start a business of their own, or somebody that
he keeps inner city kids out of trouble because he's giving them a tool, a trade, something to work with and teaching them. And his story just made my heart swell. It's like, those are the stories you live for when you can hear how someone is really doing good for the community and is a maker and is really just bringing that right back to the community to make sure that we have future generations of craftsmen and makers and people who own a business and, you know, down to like real like woodworkers, people who work nationally with other woodworkers and are, you know, building cabinetry and countertops and all kinds of really cool stuff. So his story travels all the way to Guyana. And he runs a program where these kids and adults and anyone that's interested, men, women, it doesn't matter, whoever is interested in his program, can sign up to travel to Guyana to learn where the wood is sourced from. He talks a lot about the forestry division there that has very strict guidelines on how wood can be sourced and how that wood makes its journey back here to the States and what he's doing with it.
It gives you a bigger appreciation for what goes into a craft right from the beginning. So the tree is a tree in the beginning, and then it turns into a countertop or a cutting board or whatever product you buy. But what is the story? What is the experience of making that product and doing that craft? And also, how do you do the best work? So using the best woods, being, you know, high quality in not only your inventory and your product, but also the craft itself, the action of doing it.
But Pat also touched on, you know, being unsure of pricing. Mm. And when you build up the customer base and people that can speak to the quality of your work, suddenly it becomes a lot easier. You don't have to justify it anymore. And these people are willing to pay for you know, your product, your name, and what they know that you'll deliver. And he definitely credits, you know, the ability to introduce other woodworkers to that type of wood for free to the fact that he's built this base of people that are willing to pay for the higher quality exotic wood. So it allows him kind of flexibility. And in that, he's introducing new people to using exotic woods. And he has a plan that he'd like to connect with as many makers as possible that are in woodworking to be able to offer them kind of starter packs to get them introduced to the exotic wood and hopefully make the trip with him, see how it's collected and be part of it. You know, it's not like a fun vacation. It's like, wear your gloves. You're going to get to work that day.
Well, the more I think about it, he's offering this knowledge, you know, to people for free, but he's also elevating his whole industry. Because if other people are doing similar things that he's doing, that quality of product across the board is going to go up, and that's only going to benefit him. You know what I mean? Like, because then people, the customer, are going to expect to only buy that quality because so many people are doing that.
I was just thinking how it makes it attainable for consumers, but a high quality craft. So it's not just really great wood that is then manufactured through a factory. It's this maker. You're like, you know the origin of it. You know where it's coming from. You know where it's been, who's touched it. And he's putting that craftsman spin on it and making it affordable, which, you know, I think once he's able to do that, he's cutting out the middleman. Once he can do that for more people, they'll be able to expand their product line. They'll feel comfortable working with exotic woods. I feel like there are so many possibilities.
Absolutely. So we're going to put some links in the description, in the notes, so you can click around. His website is currently under construction, but don't let that stop you from reaching out to him. Pat from Kitchen Wooden Products, he will guide you in all things wood for sure.
Enjoy it.
Thank you. Hi, Pat. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
Hello. How you been?
Good, good.
That's good.
Very good.
We're excited to have you and talk to you about your business.
Oh, great. I'm excited to be here, and I'm definitely willing to share.
Awesome.
Good. That's what we'd like to hear. So tell us what your business name is and what you do.
Okay. I'm Kitchen Wooden Products, and basically it's part of, we are part of Unique Woods, also in the U.S., and GFP, that's another wood company, and located in Guyana in South America.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Yeah, so we've been at this, I guess, longer than you are old. yeah, we've been at this for a little over 50 years.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, and through the, but we've always operated up until recently in an informal setting. In other words, what I mean by that is we've taken inner city kids into the rainforests of Guyana and South America and Liberia and West Africa. We've hosted urban underserved kids in free workshops here in Newark and Trenton. In Camden. So we've done things like that for years. But
it's amazing.
Yeah.
Pat, I'm already tearing up hearing this. Well, that's amazing. I love that. That's so inspirational.
Vocational arts. As well as other industrial arts have been taken out of the school system. I think that's the worst thing that ever happened in America.
Yeah,
it's so important to continue that as much as you can, especially for the youth, and especially knowing a craft or knowing an avenue to teach these types of things. It's important, especially if they're not getting it through school.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, in woodworking, there's everything. There's English, there's mathematics. There's communication, there's teamwork. You learn so much in the wood shop. It's amazing, you know, because today's generation, we've gone into this thing of what I call the psychology of entitlement. Everybody thinks that they deserve this, they deserve that. And my generation was not like that. If you couldn't go to college, that's fine. But you could build. We didn't worry about racism per se because everybody respects the working man. When you can use your hands, you know, the guy down the street, he doesn't care whether you're this or that. Can you hang this door? Can you build this deck for me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if everything is judged on that basis, it could eliminate a lot of problems.
Yeah, the skills behind the person is very important.
There's just that that appreciation for someone having a skill or knowledge or just something that you don't have. Like, how could you not appreciate that? I think that's why I feel so awestruck by people that have that talent, because it's just, it's crazy to me that, you know, humans just have this ability to do that and to find something that they're so good at and make it their passion and their craft. Yes. It's like the coolest thing.
Yeah.
So how did you get started with this?
Well, you know, I come from a long line of builders. My father was a craftsman, and my grandfather and my great grandfather. I learned more woodworking from my great grandfather than anyone else. He couldn't read or write, but he could look at a piece of lumber, tell you exactly where to cut it, and it would fit into the spot in which it's supposed to go.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he had an amazing gift like that. And he taught me a lot. He taught me about the appreciation of trees and how to, he actually believed in asking the tree for permission to be cut, you know? And so we would ask the tree, can we cut you? Can we do this? Can we do that? And he would never proceed without this long, long ritual. As a child, I thought it was like real spooky, right?
Yeah.
but what he was teaching me was the appreciation of nature, you know. So, and I do that when I bring the kids into the rainforest. I said, you know, one of the things that you just don't go into a rainforest and start cutting. You're looking at trees that are 250 feet tall. You know, things that's been around for hundreds of years. You just don't cut something like that down, you know. And that's what I like about the Guyana Forestry Commission, that they have a very, very great forestry program. You cannot just cut any tree down. Every tree that you have to register, the people from the Forestry Commission will come out and say, well, no, you can, or yes, you can cut that down.
You know? That makes sense.
Yeah. So
how often would you say you go there to source wood?
What we do is, and it's interesting, I'm generally not here in America at this time, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But because of the COVID, I'm here, but I'm generally, I do 6 months in the U.S. and 6 months in Guyana. You know?
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy we got to connect with you.
Yeah. And one of the things that I love doing is I love connecting with people like yourselves, other woodworkers. I have several people coming down. We're moving the shop now from where it's at. We got a bigger place. But one of the things that I like doing is making the exotic woods affordable, you know, and the wood does not have to be as expensive as it is. So my prices, I price my wood so that the average craftsman can buy it.
Right. And the first thing that we were talking about before the podcast, when we were emailing back and forth, is that that importance of using more exotic or more high quality woods in your craft. And obviously that comes at a price and all of that. But did you always start when you started out using more exotic types of woods, or is this something that you built to?
No, I started out using oak. I love oak. I love maple. I love the cherry. I started out using that, the elm, the American walnut, when you can find that.
Yeah.
So I started out using those types of woods, although I'm not set against using pines and Douglas firs, but I'm not against that. But in terms of building a high quality, a piece that's going to be around for the next 100 years that you can hand down to your family members, you have to use some type of hardwood. One of the drawbacks with a lot of the hardwoods here is that you have to stain them this, or you have to treat them for that. Even if you do outside furniture, you got to use pressure treated lumber, or you have to treat it with a certain type of stain.
Right.
Okay. Exotics are not like that. You get something like Waliba. The Waliba wood, it's been said that it could last for 100 years.
Wow.
Without even touching it with something else,
without
right?
Without touching it. You know, we've done some Waliba benches, I guess, 30 years ago, and they never brought them inside. They've been out in the weather, in the snow, and whatever, and the thing looks fine, you know. So you can't get that type of wear and tear out of the normal piece of lumber that you're familiar with here in the U.S. But the problem is that many craftsmen don't know. They don't know about these woods, okay? They might have heard of Purple Heart or Green Heart, but they never heard of Tonka Bean or Durina, you know. I mean, just, and when you see these woods, you would think that somebody dyed them or stained them, right? The mm-hmm. natural color of this stuff, you know.
It's just naturally that beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. And it will retain that color for years and years. But I also teach students how to cut these woods. These woods are very, very dense. They're very hard. You need a sharp blade. You need a mask. You have to protect yourself like any other cutting any other wood. You need some type of respirator, you know, to make sure that you're not inhaling dust and the normal stuff. Mm-hmm. But the beauty, I mean, the time spent in doing this wood, and we do everything from, I will source the wood from the forest. So I'm there when they take the tree down. And then from when the tree is up, we call it a tree, okay? When it's down, it's a log.
Yeah.
When we slab it, it becomes lumber, okay? But 95% of a tree is water. So these things will take, and we don't use a gas-fired kiln to dry the wood. We use solar energy. So we have a very small, in terms of carbon blueprint, we use solar energy to dry lumber. It takes about...
That's so fascinating.
Yeah, you know, and we're still small in terms of how woodworking goes. But my aim and my goal is to connect with as many woodworkers nationally as I can. The borders and we start cutting again, to actually make available to woodworkers across the nation a free sample package, okay?
Wow.
To these woods, so they can get at least their beak wet, you know.
To get the experience with it.
And I think that was going to be one of my questions for you too. Like, how, as a woodworker who is either just starting out or maybe you're not experienced in working with exotic woods, how would you kind of start that relationship? And where would you turn? Who would you contact?
How available would that wood be to you to start out and try it? So you just kind of answered that question already.
Yeah, because, you know, I don't think that everything needs to be, I'm an old timer. And needs to be about money, you know.
Right.
You know, the money will come. You know, if God woke mm-hmm. you up in the morning, then you've already been paid. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So, I love it.
Yeah, everything else is gravy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. But
And we definitely have woodworkers in our network. We've worked with many people that use wood as their main craft. So
some of them carve by hand, some use a lathe. But, you know, we have a bunch of people that we could even connect you with. I think that would be so cool to see the community grow to that extent where, you know, maybe one day they'll be taking a trip with you and actually watching the whole process.
I love it.
And I mean,
I love it.
That makes my heart flutter. I'm so excited to say that.
We're all about making the connection and building the network. So that's perfect.
Yeah, that's and when I heard about you guys, my daughter actually, it was through the encouragement of my daughter that we actually formulated the business in terms of a physical a business on paper. You know, so she's been, you know, she bought me an iPhone 12, you know, and she's teaching me how to use that, right? Matter of fact, she set this whole thing.
What a good daughter. You know what I mean?
So I'm slowly but surely coming into the 21st century, you know, but yeah.
You called in for a podcast, like,
yeah,
what?
What's yeah, next? Right? You know, I said, well, you know, so I made her stick around, so I do everything, you know, I've done everything right, so. I don't want you to think that I set this whole thing up because I didn't.
No, that's great. We're going to give you both.
Yeah. But no, I love what you guys are doing. I think that it is, I love talking to young people. It's my absolute, it makes my heart smile to see that you guys are doing this, making the connections and bringing the community together, because that is what is missing. In this national community.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for saying that.
That's what we live for. I mean, honestly, this has become such a passion project for us, and it's that the connection, seeing people that, you know, long after they've met us and worked with us, that they are connected with someone else, and then they can collaborate on a project, or you know, they just become friends and a resource for each other, owning a business and. You know, just having that community, that's what's most important to us.
Even if it's just the confidence, giving them the confidence to make that next step in their business or make that next decision. You know, we want to make sure that they feel supported in some way, whether it's through us or through somebody that they need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the things that when I first started out was the material piece. You know, I would buy, one piece of red oak, you know, one slab, and it was like, my God, this is very expensive. And then I hooked up with some of my Southern buddies, and we started cutting our own wood. And then we did our chainsaw slabbing. And taught ourselves how to dry the lumber, and began to source our wood to our friends who were carvers or carpenters.
Yeah,
you know, at way below market value. Okay, and I want to continue that whole process, because once we get enough people in our community, in the woodworking community, we put exotic woods in their hands, and some of these people are very, very gifted, but they don't have the resources, and they don't have the money to buy these more expensive woods. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, it sounds like that was the biggest challenge for you is sourcing it at first and figuring out, you know, where to start
and what does the pricing look like
price work, but then. Now you're kind of offering that solution instead of having other people go through that same challenge.
Absolutely. I don't think that supply should be. And then people say, well, I've been asked this question, and even my accountant asks me this question. He says, look, man, I don't know how you're making money, but you're making money. You're giving away the store. I said, let me tell you something, you know, let's say I just sent a shipment of I've just finished the supply off I had domestically here, but my last shipment I gave this woodworker, I didn't even know it, but I met him online and he told me what he was doing, and I thought that what he was doing was great, and I sent him about 50 board feet of Purple Heart.
Wow.
Free. And he call me back, and he kept me on the phone for about like 2.5 hours. I was like, look, man, you know, I mean, it's great talking to you, but I gotta go, you know. So, but, you know, but the next hour, I get a call from upstate New York from a guy that I met at a conference, and he put in an order once I go back to Guyana. He put in an order for he owns 9 restaurants, 9 chains, and he wants all butcher block countertops in all of his stores.
Yeah, that's a big one. Now, that's a big order.
And you know what he said? I said, well, he said, I know you're trying to figure out your price point. He says, look, money is not the problem, not the issue. Come up here, just tell me when you can do it, and I give you the check. He wasn't concerned with the money. You follow me?
And all.
He knows what you can deliver, and he's impressed with it.
I was going to say, I think you end up making these customers for life. You know, you were generous for the one woodworker, sending him free material. And now he's going to turn around and tell 10 of his woodworking buddies your name, and then they're going to contact you. And same, you know, this guy up in upstate New York, he knows that you're going to deliver. He knows the quality, and, you know, it just, your business and that relationship speaks for itself.
So once we get our, my daughter's working on my website now. Once that's up and running, and she's trying to show me, which is, I think, a losing proposition, but, you know, but once that's up and running, and once we clear this hurdle, I really look forward. Where are you guys from? What part of the country?
We're in New Jersey. We're in Union County. We're close. So you're basically our neighbor.
Yeah, we're in Cranford.
Great. Yeah. So
one day we'll meet you soon.
And then maybe sometime before the year's out or early next year, you guys can come on down to Guyana. You know.
That would be so cool.
Yeah, that would be insane.
Yeah, I would love to have you. You know, I've actually reached out to a few people that I have agreed to come, and so I'm looking forward to hosting a lot of people down there.
Tell us more about how you organize these trips down there, and you also mentioned that in the summer you run classes. So tell us more about.
Okay,
that.
So what happens is again I'm informal all the way, and all the way up until I guess last year. The city recently shut me down here. The city of Newark shut me down and told me that they came back, and I had about maybe 20 people in the yard, and we had all the saws out, and we was doing our projects, and inspectors came in, and he said, you own this house? I said, yeah, I own the house. He says, you have a permit? I said, permit for what? He said, well, you have to have a permit and a license to do what you're doing. I said, look, I've been doing this for over 60 years. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something about the business and a residential.
Yeah, and wrote me a $500 ticket. I went to court, and the judge threw it out. But he said, well, look, you know, unfortunately, you know, the bureaucracy is the bureaucracy. You know, so... Mm-hmm. We'll have to circle back on that. But what we was doing is we would have a 12-week course, and I would teach about first safety, how to protect your ears, how to protect your eyes, your nose. Then we talked about knowing the woods. We talked about hardwoods, softwoods. And then we talked about, I would tell them about exotic species of woods. We talked about tree anatomy, the grains, coupling, twisting, you know, the drying of wood, the warping of wood. So it's a very, very kind. We talked about adhesives, stains, dyes, paints, And we talked about how, what machines does this. We talked about table saw safety. And I would give them different mm-hmm. scenarios. If you approach a table saw, what's the first thing you should do? And they're trained to look to make sure everything is free of debris. The table saw is unplugged. You know, you have your ear protection, eye protection on. You know where you don't have any long sleeves on. Nothing's hanging from your neck. So we've done all this. I mean, it's a very intense course. And we've done this over the years. And a lot of these guys and women, females too, have gone on to become carpenters. And these are people who would have normally been out there committing a crime. I've had ex-offenders come. And now an ex-offender don't worry about an employer trying to look up whether he's been in prison or not. He can employ himself now. You follow me?
I was going to ask you too, like, if you partner with any local schools, or how are you getting people to sign now, up for check the class? This out.
Again, it's just word of, it's just word of mouth.
Word of mouth. Word of mouth. I love it.
And what we're going to do. A trip for the following spring. You know, we would actually organize it by September for the spring of different woodworkers, carvers, mothers, fathers, men, women, whoever who have an interest in this.
Yeah, it's a good skill for anybody to have. Is that going to be at your new business spot?
Yeah, that's
going to
be, and we're going to hold it in. I want to be able to fly these people into Guyana, into, but this is not a prima donna trip. This is a trip, you know what I mean? this is a woodworking trip.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, you bring your coveralls and your working gloves, and we're going to do some woodworking where they'll begin. I want to take them into the forest. I want to show them how wood is cut. Take them to the sawmill. Show them how wood is dried. You know what I mean? And then, the whole experience. And then actually do a project. Everybody do a project. You know, that's my. And once you do that, then the whole field is the whole field is open. You know, and that's what we need.
Absolutely.
Do you build the cost of their travel into what you'd charge them for the program? Is that something that you normally do, or is that something that you're thinking about adding for the future?
What we want to do, the plan is, I've been trying to get the, I was trying to take the money out of the equation, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people would go, but, you know, although Guyana is, the trip to Guyana is not that expensive, but money is money. So mm-hmm. if I've been working with, I have several things going on with the government down there. I'm trying to get them to underwrite that kind of program. What we've been doing is underwriting it ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's an educational program,
yeah,
too.
So
I'm sure that there's
sponsors and things like that for it.
Things that you can do about
but
that.
But now,
yeah,
since COVID hit, you know, people don't want to hear about going to other countries. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hopefully that's over soon.
Hopefully. But yeah, that's me in a nutshell. The other thing that I'm hoping is that we can push to get vocational training back into the school system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really important. You know, college isn't for everyone. And instead of shaming people to think that they need to go to college, or, you know, it's one, you know, you can only have one option. Why not introduce kids into a vocation so that they feel like they have a purpose and they're learning real valuable skills that they can use? Because honestly, you know, so many of us, and even, you know, our generation have gone to college and have degrees or have student loans or have, you know, things that we're not necessarily using. But how helpful would it have been if, you know, half of those people went to a vocational school instead and were actually practicing a trade instead of now sitting on debt and, you know, student loans and exactly. a degree they're not using. Yep.
And you're talking to the right audience too, because whether it was, you know, beginning in their career or later in life, all of these people are thinking about skills. We need
skills. Once a person can use his hands, you don't have to worry about offering him a job. He can create his own job.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And
so important these days. Yeah,
it's so true. It really is. So, you know, you mentioned that you have made the butcher block countertops for a client. What are some of the other products that you're making in your line?
A lot of cutting boards. Okay. And
okay, and
matter of fact, just leave me your email. Well, since you're in Union County, right? Yeah, I have a couple of cutting Union boards County. Left. I'm going to gift you one. Okay.
Don't worry about it. You're so kind.
It's what we do. It's what we do.
Thank you so much.
We do a lot of cutting boards. We do a lot of outdoor furniture. You know, so, and then the other thing that's we do have a break in our supply chain. That's why I'm going down there to fix it. We was doing a lot of flooring. You have this mm-hmm. wood called Mora. Mora is Guyana cherry. And if you're talking about a beautiful piece of wood, oh my God. A Mora floor would cost you probably, let's say a 12 by 15 room. A Mora floor mm-hmm. would cost you on the order of about $9,000.
Wow, okay.
We're bringing that floor in for about $3,200. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
only because, okay. again, there's no middleman. See, we don't have. But here's,
right.
the, here's
yeah. the
kicker. The kicker is that the plan is to reopen a formal woodworking shop here in the States and teach
mm-hmm.
young people, old people, men, women, whoever wants to learn this technique of making the tongue and groove flooring, and then they can pay themselves. You follow me? Mm-hmm. I can supply the wood.
Yeah.
I'll show them the technique, and this will be a self-sustaining business. You follow me? So, and you do that, and you do that in small pockets, each city, all over America, and we can get everybody working again, you know, because everybody... Yeah, you know,
it's exciting.
That's where the magic is. The magic is the fact that we can come together, we can share, and we can help each other. I'm all for that.
That's a great story. You have to tell us where people can find you online. What's your social media? What's your website that's going to be available soon?
It's called Kitchen Wooden Products. And unique woods, uniquewoodsusa .com. That's my email address. And Kitchen Wooden Products, either one of those, they can connect with me. And my email is kitchenwoodenproducts @gmail.com and uniquewoodsusa @gmail.com.
Yeah, we'll put all that information in the description so people will be able to click on it. Yeah,
connect with you. That's so amazing. I feel like you're just such an amazing person, an amazing spirit, and so many great things are going to happen for you. I love what you're planning, and I can't wait to see what comes of everything. Thank you.
And remember, send me your email address, and so I can, by early next week, I can get this board to you.
You're too nice. You're thank
so
you. Sweet.
Thank you so much. And thank you to your daughter for helping you set up for our podcast today.
God bless you both. My hat's off to you. I love what this generation is doing in terms of the technology, and you guys. I just love young people. I think that it's all up to you to make this world a better place, and I think that you guys are on the right path to do so.
Oh, thank you so much. We're sending you virtual hugs, and thank you so much. We'll definitely be in touch with you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Business Handmade podcast. Please make sure to subscribe and leave us a review. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at MarketSpace Vendor Events or on our website, MarketSpaceVendorEvents.com.